And this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. President Trump's big, beautiful bill, which passed the House by a 215 to 214, so a one-vote margin. It's also going to affect food and farming. And, you know, maybe it is true the United States needs to grow more food of its own as opposed to exporting it, but we are also facing significant food insecurity. So what happens when we take money away from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP as it's known, in part to fund subsidies for farmers? And what does that mean here in Illinois? Our state is, of course, a leading producer of soybeans, corn, and other crops. And what does this legislation mean for the passage of a bipartisan farm bill, potentially, later in the year? Joining me to talk about this is Mike Lavender, Policy Director of the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Also with us, Diane Schanzenbach, Director of the Institute for Policy Research at Northwestern University and a non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Diane, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And Rodney Weinzierl is Executive Director at Illinois Corn. Rodney, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for allowing me to join.
Once again, our phone lines are open, 800-222-9455, if you have a question or comment specifically about this part of the show. All right, Mike, I'm going to begin with you. Your group, the National Sustainable Ag Coalition, has members across the country. What are some of the reactions you've heard from them about this legislation?
I think the primary reaction that we've heard is the concern that the reconciliation bill that's currently moving through Congress undermines the chance that many folks within our coalition and within the food and farm system look to every 5 years, the chance to have a full bipartisan federal farm bill. A federal farm bill is something that invests in the diversity of all of American agriculture, from rural development to farmers, to food access, to nutrition assistance, to conservation and research. And I think the chief concern is that the federal farm bill is so important to federal food and farm policy. And this reconciliation bill significantly undermines the opportunity to get to a full bipartisan farm bill, not only this year, but potentially next year as well. That's a problem because the farm bill that's current law was passed into law in 2018. Many of the policies were actually written in 2017. So we're increasingly operating, Illinois farmers included, under outdated federal food and farm law. And so if you think of all the things that have happened between 2018, 2017, and now, and even the most recent example, just last month in Illinois, the dust storm, right? And so there's a real need to update federal food and farm policy so that farmers can thrive, so that folks have access to affordable, nutritious food. And this reconciliation bill is throwing away the opportunity to have that.
Rodney Weinzierl, what about you? What was your and other members of Illinois Corn's sort of initial reaction to this legislation?
Well, I think as Mike mentioned, it does create a huge challenge in being able to get a bipartisan farm bill. I testified at the House Ag Committee back in February talking about this. There's a lot of components in the farm bill around ag research, market development programs, and things like that that will not be able to be discussed or changed or updated in budget reconciliation. Now, there's other valuable parts of budget reconciliation, but, you know, including big components of the farm bill create a lot of challenges for the rest of the farm bill.
Diane Schanzenbach with Northwestern University. I'm going to bring you into the conversation now. One of the big changes here, and I should say we have to take a break in a couple of minutes, but we will continue after that. But one of the big changes in this legislation has to do with food assistance. Can you just give us sort of in broad strokes what is happening with SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program?
Sure. SNAP covers almost 2 million people in Illinois. The vast majority are either children or are elderly and disabled, and they get about $6 per person per day. This bill makes a lot of changes in the short run, exposing more people to work requirements, which I know we can talk about on the other side of this. They sound like a good idea, but when you get into the details, there's a lot of real challenges there. And then the other is that it shifts a lot of costs onto the state of Illinois. And anybody who lives here knows we don't have a lot of slack in our budget to absorb these increased costs.
Okay, let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. We are talking today throughout the program about the Big Beautiful Bill, as it is formally known, which is the big omnibus. It has tax cuts. It has changes to agriculture spending. It has changes to healthcare spending, significant reductions in food assistance and healthcare spending. And my guests for this part of the program are Mike Lavender with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, Rodney Weinzierl, Executive Director at Illinois Corn, and Diane Schanzenbach, Director of the Institute for Policy Research at Northwestern, also a non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. If you have questions about this, 800-222-9455 is the number to join us. That's 800-222-9455. We are going to continue this conversation after a short break. I do also want to mention, if there are other aspects of the Big Beautiful Bill you've heard about, we got a couple of text messages about some of these AI provisions. One of our producers has already been looking into that. That's something we may tackle in a future program. If you have other questions, let us know. You can always just call in or email us. The address for that is on our website, 21stshow.org. All right, more to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Please stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the Big Beautiful Bill working its way through the Congress, what it might mean for Illinois, and specifically in this part of the show as it relates to agriculture, farming, and SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. My guests for this part of the program are Rodney Weinzierl, Executive Director at Illinois Corn, Diane Schanzenbach, Director of the Institute for Policy Research at Northwestern University, and Mike Lavender, Policy Director of the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Mike, I'm going to come back to you. Is there anything good in this legislation from a farming agriculture perspective?
Well, I think you can really break down some of the key components for farmers of this bill in three ways. There is a dramatic increase in farm subsidies, both for some farmers, for a select few farmers. There's an increase in subsidies for private insurance companies that help to deliver those insurance policies. There are some conservation investments. However, unfortunately, as part of those conservation investments, the bill has decided, Congress has decided to abandon targeted support for farming practices that help farmers deal with the impacts of climate change. So addressing water quality, erosion, the bill makes some investments in conservation, but removes that targeted support that we know farmers are dealing with and need and have expressed interest in. And then I think the final piece, and it's always really important to make this connection, we've talked a little bit about the cuts to SNAP. Those obviously impact children, hungry individuals, but they impact farmers too. Farmers nationwide, including in Illinois, have SNAP as a part of their business model, whether that's at farmers markets or part of CSAs. And so cuts to SNAP also impact farmers' financial stability and bottom line. I don't think I have to tell any of your listeners that one of the things that farmers depend on is certainty. Looking for certainty. And this bill does not give certainty to the vast majority of farmers throughout the country.
Rodney Weinzierl, let me ask you the same question that I did to my, is there, what do you see as like positives coming out of this legislation from a farm perspective?
So as was mentioned, there are some improvements in the farmer safety net, but it is very regionalized. I would just, if people are interested in kind of seeing that regionalization, they can Google Farm Doc Daily. It's the University of Illinois has done an analysis of Title I that's been inserted. And if they look at May 15th on that article, they'll kind of see the difference in how different program crops are handled. Midwest does not benefit very much. We are in a third year of a major agriculture downturn for most crops in the nation, and the improvements in this bill would help a little bit, but it's much more beneficial to other regions of the country.
Let's go to the phones now at 800-222-9455. We have Randy calling from rural Peoria County. Randy, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, referring to SNAP and some of the food benefits, I'm a farmer, lifelong farmer, but, you know, I guess there's a balance. I think the beneficiaries of that program, some of them now have, it's gone over maybe top dead center, and they do take advantage of the fresh vegetables and do get them. But what I have observed is some of those go in the garbage right away, which is a sad thing. And then they'll reach down in their boxes and get the pudding cups and keep those. And that's really a sad thing. So what I've tried to do is maybe help some of them know how to cook those things and prepare them. And my grandmother had a saying, if with great northern beans in the world, nobody should starve anywhere on earth. And so I've sort of tried to show folks maybe that come around how to cook some of that stuff and preserve it. And that's what's needed in the program. And you could employ farmers that know how to cook that stuff to show the recipients how to do it if they're buying it at the farmers markets. And a lot of the farmers know how to have, they're raising garlic and everything else and selling it. They could show the people buying it how to use it and prepare it and preserve it. So that's my $0.02 worth for the policymakers. Employ the farmers that are selling it to show the people how to use it.
All right, Randy, thank you so much for that call. I appreciate that. Diane Schanzenbach, professor at Northwestern, I wonder if you want to respond to that, or you can take it where you will with regard to the food.
Yeah, I'd love
program.
To respond to yeah. that. Thank you. So it sounds to me like the caller, Randy, might be conflating SNAP, which gives people resources to buy food at farmers markets and at grocery stores, with some of the, you know, boxes that you might get from a food bank or a food pantry. You know, with SNAP, the individual gets to choose what they want to purchase. They get to choose, you know, the foods that they like, that their kids will eat. I really take the point that Randy made that, you know, with lots of foods, it's hard to, you know, move people's tastes and preferences. And this food bank industry and also SNAP Ed, which is getting cut under this bill, have tried really hard to help people understand how to eat a healthier diet on a real fixed budget. And so I agree that education is important here, and that's getting cut in this bill as well.
Diane, can you you touched on this or hinted at this earlier, but can you touch on this idea, though, and we brought this up a little earlier, this idea of, I'm sure a lot of people have had the experience, you're in line at the grocery store, you see somebody in front of you who pulls out the EBT card, and you think, huh, why does that person, like, they look healthy, they look like they could have a job, what's the deal with that? And so, you know, that's where these idea of these work requirements do sound attractive to a lot of people. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I like to think about 40% of people who are on SNAP are working low-income families. And just they've got kids, they've got high cost of living, et cetera, and they just don't earn enough from their jobs to make ends meet. And so, that first letter in SNAP is supplemental. So what SNAP does is help them with just a little bit of boost in the resources that they have, to combine with the resources that they have from earnings to, put enough food on the table. Now, another about 40% of the population on SNAP is elderly or disabled. And so, they're just sort of in a different category. So really, the evidence is that most people who are expected to work, who are on SNAP, either are working or, joined the program because they lost their job or have had a temporary setback, economically.
Mike, you talked a little bit earlier about how SNAP, the food assistance program, is something that does a lot of that money eventually does go to farmers, right? Because of, well, they're producing the food that's being purchased through this. There's been some reporting. Investigate Midwest found SNAP spending at farmers markets grew 400% over a decade, so that's even more direct. And Feeding America, the sort of food assistance food pantry group, found that $2.5 billion through SNAP generated nearly double that in economic activity, for what that's worth. So, I guess talk about some of the, greater macro effects that you might see from cutting SNAP benefits.
Yeah, I think I would encourage people to think about SNAP. I think it's often thought of as who is the end recipient, right? Who is the individual or the family who are ultimately using this program to get through a difficult time, which is certainly valid. But SNAP as a program reverberates through local, regional, rural, and urban economies in really significant ways. And as a foundational component of rural economies, farmers are a part of that fabric. So as you mentioned, we've seen over recent years, over recent decade, the inclusion and growth within SNAP of incentive programs that help bring people to farmers markets because they can use some of those SNAP investments to access fresh, local, healthy foods. And so it's been a growing area of work and tremendously popular. And when people are investing in their neighbors, right? Investing in the people down the street, that's what builds communities. That's what keeps communities tight-knit. And so some of the estimates from the budget reconciliation bill that we've been discussing here today are that the cuts that are proposed to SNAP in the House passed version could have a negative effect on the farm sector of up to $30 billion. So we need to, obviously talk about the individuals who would lose access to SNAP because of this, and also realize that it's not only them, that there are impacts to the broader economy, including the farm sector, that will result from these cuts.
Rodney, I want to ask you. Actually, you know what? Let me pause on that briefly. I think we can get quickly one more call in. Karen is calling from Champaign. Or no, sorry, Kelly from Champaign. My apologies. Kelly from Champaign, line two. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, so I work with local farmers and farmers markets in the Champaign County area. We get huge, huge investment from SNAP. Link Up Illinois is our program across the state. It's wildly successful. And here in Champaign County, just the farmers markets, two of them of the 13 plus in the Champaign County area, just two of them in Champaign and Urbana, redeemed as much SNAP matching as almost eight farmers markets in the Chicago area. It's widely supportive of our local farmers, and part of the reason that Champaign County area is able to have such diversity in small family-owned farms doing really great things with fresh vegetables in partnership with the other aspect of SNAP, which is extension education. They're super active in the area, helping people to use those fresh vegetables in a really great partnership, I would hate to see lost.
Thank you so much for sharing that perspective, Kelly. I really appreciate it. Rodney Weinzierl, we're coming to the end of our time together. I want to ask you briefly, you touched on something earlier about developing foreign markets and research, agriculture research. A lot of that stuff has really taken a hit from some of the DOGE efforts in the first few months of the administration. Can you talk about how you and your members are thinking about those aspects of what the government has been doing lately?
Well, I would say, you know, in the export side, in Illinois, we are the largest exporter of both corn and soybeans in the nation as a state. We have great transportation that allows us to get to the coast, whether it's on the East Coast or the Gulf Coast. And so there's a lot of programming that is important to us that is in USDA and part of the Farm Bill. And so we're really watching what's going on there. Of course, we have a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace right now because of tariffs, and a lot of customers out there in other countries have a lot of questions of us. We just dealt with a Japanese trade team here earlier this week, and that's a big question. So the uncertainty around all of that really creates a lot of anxiety for farmers as we go through this crop. And as I mentioned, we're still in a large economic downturn on the farm. So we're watching what this administration is doing very carefully, as well as what's happening to these components in the Budget Reconciliation Act. And are we going to have a chance to get a farm bill?
All right. Well, this is an issue we will definitely continue to follow here on the 21st Show. Rodney Weinzierl, Executive Director of Illinois Corn, Mike Lavender with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, and Diane Schanzenbach with Northwestern University and the Brookings Institution. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise with us today here on the 21st Show. And that is it for us today. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to continue exploring different aspects of this One Big Beautiful Bill Act, as it is formally known. And we will talk about that on future shows. If you have a suggestion, something you want to hear us tackle, please let us know. Email address is talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org. I also want to suggest joining our texting group. You can find the way to do that at our website, or just send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, you can just text the word TALK to 217-803-0730 and make your voice heard on Illinois' statewide public radio talk show. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.